The protector stood after briefly inspecting the paper the guard handed him.
You have the faith?
Yes, Protector Muxin. Nicky handed over the coin. He glanced at it before pocketing the silver.
Fines for civil violations are steep, he said cryptically, as his dark eyes halted to measure her reaction.
Nicky licked her lips, her hopes suddenly buoyant. She had passed the first test by paying the fee. The greedy bastard was now demanding money for Richard's life. Nicky spoke cautiously, fearing to make a mistake.
If I knew the fine, Protector, I believe I could raise the money.
The Protector peered at her with an intensity that made sweat break out across her brow.
A man needs to prove his repentance. A fine that cuts to the bone is a sure way to show remorse for a civil infraction. Less, and we will know the penance insincere. Day after tomorrow, at this time, those who have confessed to such infractions and have someone who can pay the price of the fine are brought before me for disposition.
He had named the price. Everything. He had told her what Richard had to do. She wanted to tear out the man's fat throat.
Thank you for your kind understanding of my husband's civil indiscretion. If I could see him, I will see that he hurts to the bone in remorse.
He smiled a thin, sweaty smile.
See that you do, young lady. Men left too long down here with their guilt end up confessing to the most terrible things.
Nicky swallowed.
I understand, Protector Muxin.
The torture would not stop until the man had the price. The guard seized her arm abruptly and yanked her off down a pitch-black corridor, holding his two lanterns in his other hand. They went down another flight of stairs, down to the very bottom of the stronghold. The narrow passageway burrowed its crooked way through the stone of the foundation, past rooms purpose-built to hold criminals. Being not far from the river, water seeped into the place, leaving it forever slimy, wet, and reeking of rot. She saw things skitter away into the blackness. The sound of their feet splashing through ankle-deep water echoed back from the distance. Decomposing carcasses of huge rats bobbed in the waves caused by their passing footsteps. The place reminded Nicky of her childhood nightmares of the underworld, a fate her mother had promised awaited all those who failed in their duty to their fellow man. The short doors to the sides each had a small opening about the size of a hand, so that the guards could look in, she supposed. There was no light at all but what the guards brought, so there was nothing for those inside to look out at. In several of those doors, fingers gripped the edge of the opening. As the lamplight passed, Nicky saw wide eyes peering out from the black holes. From many of the openings came weeping of anguish or agony. The guard stopped. There it is. Her heart beating wildly, Nicky waited. Instead of opening the door, the guard turned to her and grabbed her breasts. She stood motionless, fearing to move. He fondled her, as if he were testing melons in the market. She was too afraid to say anything, lest he not let her see Richard. He pressed closer to her and pushed his meaty hand down inside the top of her dress, fingering her nipples. Nicky knew that men like this were necessary if the order was to bring their teachings to all. You had to accept that the nature of mankind was perverted. There had to be sacrifices. Brutes were necessary to enforce morality on the masses. She stifled a yelp as he pinched her tender flesh. The guard chuckled, pleased with his grope, and turned to the door. After some difficulty with the rusty lock, he finally got the key to turn. He grasped the door through the opening and gave a mighty tug. The door slowly grated open just enough to get by. The guard hung a lantern just inside on the wall.
After I've seen to some other matters, I'll be back, and your visit will be over.
He chortled again.
Don't waste any time getting your skirts up for him, if he's in any condition for it.
He shoved her in the room.
Here you go, Cipher. I got her nice and randy for you.
The door shut with a clang that echoed up and down the crooked passageway. Nicky heard the key turn and the guard's sloshing footsteps as he departed. The square room was so tiny she could have stretched her arms and touched the walls to each side at the same time. The ceiling brushed the top of her head. She was overwhelmed by the terrifying closeness of it. She wanted out. She feared the body crumpled at her feet was dead.
"Richard?"
She heard a little groan. His arms were behind his back, locked in some kind of wooden binders. She feared he might drown. Tears stung her eyes. She sank to her knees. The slimy water that had sloshed into her boots now soaked up through her dress.
"Richard!"
She pulled at his shoulder to turn him over. He cried out and shrank away from her hand. When she saw him, she covered her mouth with both hands to stifle her scream. She felt the tears flooding down her face as she gasped to get her breath.
"Oh, Richard!"
Nikki stood and tore off a strip of her shift from under her dress. Kneeling once more, she used the cloth to gently wipe the blood from his face.
"Richard, can you hear me? It's Nikki."
He nodded.
"Nikki."
One eye was swollen shut. His hair was matted with mud and slime from the water he lay in. His clothes were torn open. In the harsh light from the small lamp, she could see puffy red wounds crisscrossing his flesh. He saw her staring at his wounds.
"I'm afraid you'll never be able to patch this shirt."
She offered a feeble smile at his grim humor. Her fingers trembled as she wiped his face. She didn't know why she would react this way. She had seen worse than this. Richard pulled his head back away from her ministrations.
"Am I hurting you?"
"Yes."
"Sorry, I have some water."
He nodded eagerly. Nikki poured water into his mouth from the water skin. He drank greedily. While he caught his breath, she said,
"Camille came up with the money for the fee to get me in to see you."
Richard only smiled.
"Camille wants you out of here."
"I want me out of here."
He didn't sound like himself. His voice was hoarse and almost gone.
"Richard, the protector."
"Who?"
"The official in charge of this prison. He told me that there is a way to get you out. He said you must plead guilty to a civil infraction and pay a fine."
Richard was nodding.
"I figured as much. He asked if I had money. I told him I did."
"You do? You saved money?"
He nodded.
"I have money."
Nikki's fingers desperately gathered his collar into her fist.
"Richard, I can't pay the fine to get you out for 2 more days. Can you hold on? Please, can you hold on until then?"
He smiled in the dim lamplight.
"I'm not going anywhere."
Nikki remembered then and pulled the bread out of the sack.
"I brought food, bread, and some roasted chicken."
"Chicken? Bread won't sustain me long. They don't feed me."
She tore at the chicken with her fingers. She held a piece up to his mouth for him. She couldn't stand to see Richard helpless. It angered her. It made her sick.
"Eat, Richard,"
she urged when his head sank forward. He shook his head as if to banish sleep.
"Here, have some more."
She watched him chew.
"Can you sleep in this water?"
"They don't let you sleep. They..."
She pushed a long chunk of chicken in his mouth. She knew too many of the details of the Order's methods. She didn't want to know which technique they had chosen for him.
"I'll get you out, Richard. Don't give up. I'll get you out."
He shrugged as if to say it didn't matter.
"Why? Covetous of your prisoner? Jealous to see others abuse me in your place? Fear they might destroy me before you can?"
"Richard, that's not..."
"I am just a man. Only the greater good matters. That I'm innocent is immaterial because no man's life has value. If I must suffer and die this way to help drive others to the ways of your Creator and your Order, who are you to deny them that virtuous end? What do your wishes matter? How can you put your life, or mine, above the good of others?"
How many times had she lectured him with that same moral doctrine? How contemptuous, how venomous, how treacherous it sounded from his lips. She hated herself at that moment. He somehow put the lie to everything the order stood for, to everything she had devoted her life to. He somehow made doing good seem evil. That was why he was so dangerous. That he even existed threatened everything for which they stood. She was so close to knowing what she needed to understand. The very fact that there were tears running down her face told her that there really was something that made the whole ordeal worthwhile, made it essential. The indefinable spark she had seen in his eyes from the first instant was real. If she could just reach that little bit more, then she could finally do what was best. It would be better for him. What kind of life could he ever have? How much suffering could he endure? She hated that she was condemned to serving the Creator in such a way. "Look round, Nicky. You wanted to show me the better way of the order? Look around. Isn't it glorious?" She hated to see one of his beautiful eyes swollen shut.
"Richard, I need the money you saved. If I'm to get you out of here, I'll need it all. The official told me it had to be all of what you had."
A hoarse whisper was all he had left.
"It's in our room."
"Our room? Where? Tell me where."
He shook his head.
"You could never get it out. You have to know the trick to open it. Go to Ishak."
"Ishak? At the transport company? Why?"
"It was his parlor once. There's a hidden compartment in the floor. Tell him why you need the money. He will open it for you."
She held more chicken up to his mouth.
"All right, I'll go to Ishak."
She hesitated while she watched him chew.
"I'm sorry that you have to give up what you've managed to save. I know how hard you work. It's not right for them to take it."
He shrugged again.
"Just money. I'd rather live."
Nicky smiled and wiped the tears from her cheeks. That was the best thing she could have hoped to hear. The door opened. "Pull your skirt down, woman. Time's up." As he dragged her out by her arm, she stuffed the last of the chicken in Richard's mouth.
"Civil infraction,"
she called to him.
"Don't forget."
He had to confess to a civil infraction that could be paid with a fine. Then they would release him. Any other crime was death.
"I won't forget."
She reached back toward him as she was pulled from the tiny cell.
"I'll be back for you, Richard. I swear."
Chapter 56. Nicky paced as Ishak bent over the trap door in the corner of the room. He had been at it a long time. He had pushed the wardrobe aside to get at the secret place in the floor. Occasionally he muttered under his breath, cursing himself for having made it so difficult to get into.
"At last!"
Ishak scrambled to his feet. Nicky hoped that the meager money Richard could have managed to save would be enough to satisfy Protector Muxon. In her head she was going through a list of people who had offered money to help Richard. Ishak scurried close. "Here it is." He hurriedly placed the leather purse in her hand. The weight shocked her. The purse filled her palm. It didn't make sense. She realized Richard must have put some metal items in with his savings. That would account for the weight. She pulled open the top and dumped the contents in her palm. Nicky gasped. There were close to 24 gold marks. There wasn't any silver. It was all gold.
"Dear Creator,"
she whispered, her eyes wide, "where would Richard get all this money?" It was more money than most wealthy men saw in their lifetime. She looked up into Ishak's eyes.
"Where would Richard get all this money?"
He swept his red hat off his head. He waved impatiently at all the gold lying in her palm.
"Richard earned it."
She felt her frown darkening.
"Earned it? How? No one man could earn this much money. Not honestly, anyway."
She felt her anger building.
"Richard stole this gold, didn't he?"
"Don't be silly,"
Ishak gestured irritably. Richard earned it. He bought and sold goods.
She gritted her teeth. How did he get this money?
The man flung up his hands. I'm telling you. He earned it himself. All by himself. He bought things and sold them to people who needed them.
Things? What kind of things? Contraband?
No. Things like iron and steel.
Nonsense. How would he move it? Carried on his back?
At first. But then he bought a wagon to...
A wagon?
Yes, and horses. He bought charcoal and ore and sold them to the foundries. Mostly he bought metal from the foundry and sold it to the blacksmith. The blacksmith uses a great deal of metal. He bought it from Richard. That was how he earned the money.
Nicky seized the man's collar at his throat. Take me to this blacksmith.
Nicky was furious. All this time she had thought Richard an honest, hard-working man, and now she had discovered that he was imprisoned properly. He was guilty of swindling honest working people out of their money. He was profiteering. At that moment, she was not sorry at all for what they were doing to him in the prison. He deserved it all and more. He was a criminal, cheating honest, hard-working people out of gold. She burned with humiliation, knowing she had been deceived by him. Nicky had seen the sight of the palace before, but at a distance as she went about her business in the city. She had never been this close. It was going to be everything Jagang said it would be. It filled her with awe. All the inspiring words of Brother Narev from her youth were like a sacred choir singing from the depth of her memories as she looked upon the sweep of scenes being erected. The walls were already up over the openings for the windows on the first floor. In some sections, beams were being laid, spanning the interior walls to support the next story. But it was the outside which took her breath. The stone walls were banded with carvings on a scale she had never imagined. Just as Brother Narev would have directed, the carvings were inspirational and convincing. Nicky saw people gazing upon the scenes, weeping at the events recounted in stone, weeping at the depiction of the miserable creature that was man, and the unattainable glory that was the perfection of the Creator. With such moving visions, there could be no doubt that the Order was mankind's only hope of salvation. Just as Jagang had said, this would be a palace to stir the people with overpowering emotion.
"Why are those poles there?"
she asked Ishak as they marched along the wide cobbled path, where people stood and watched the construction, while others knelt and prayed at various horrific scenes depicted on the walls. Carvers.
Ishak removed his red hat as he looked at the sight.
It was said they took part in the revolt.
Nicky's gaze passed among the rotting corpses hanging at the tops of the poles. Why would the carvers take part in the revolt? They have work. More than that, they were working on the scenes of the glory of the Order. They, of all people, should have known how their only hope of reward in the next world required suffering in this.
I didn't say they took part. I said it was said that they took part.
Nicky didn't correct the man. All men were corrupt. There wasn't a man who could not be put to death without it being justified. That included Richard. Many of the stones under protective roofs where men had worked now sat idle. Ramps were constructed, along with scaffolding, for the masons to work on the palace walls. As they placed their stone, other men, slave labor, worked at hauling huge blocks up the ramps to them, carried baskets of mortar or dirt and rock, or worked in trenches building the underground cells where the Order would purge the world of the worst sinners and where criminals would confess their crimes. It was a terrible business, but you couldn't have a garden unless you got your hands dirty first. The blacksmith shop, up on the side of a hill overlooking the colossal undertaking, was the largest she had ever seen. With a project of this scale, it was understandable. She stood outside while Ishak hurried in to fetch the blacksmith for her. The sounds of hammers ringing on steel, the smells of the forge, the smoke, the oils, the acid, the brine, all brought back a flood of memories of her father's shop. For a brief moment, Nicky's heart beat faster. She was a girl again.
She almost expected to see her father come out and smile at her with that wondrous energy of his showing in his blue eyes. Instead, a brawny man stepped out of the shadows into the daylight. He wore no smile, but a menacing glare. At first she thought he was bald. Then she saw that his full head of hair was simply cropped close to his scalp. Some of her father's men who worked with hot iron did the same. His scowl would have set any other woman back 3 paces. He wiped his hands on a rag as he walked through the milky sunlight toward her, appraising her eyes more carefully than most men, other than Richard. His thick leather apron was speckled with hundreds of tiny burn marks.
"Mrs. Cipher?"
Ishak backed away, contenting himself to be a shadow.
"That's right. I'm Richard's wife."
"Funny. Richard never really spoke of you. I guess I just assumed he had a wife, but he never said."
"Richard has been taken into custody."
The scowl changed in an instant to wide-eyed concern.
"Richard's been arrested? For what?"
"Apparently, for the most base of crimes, cheating people."
"Cheating people? Richard? They're out of their minds."
"I'm afraid not. He is guilty. I have the evidence."
"What evidence?"
Ishak swooped in close, unable to contain himself any longer.
"Richard's money. The money he made."
"Made?"
Nikki's shout drove Ishak back a step. "You mean the money he stole?" The blacksmith's scowl had returned.
"Stole? Who do you think he stole this money from? Who are his accusers? Where are his victims?"
"Well, you are one."
"Me?"
"Yes. I'm afraid you were one of his victims. I'm here to return your money." "I can't use stolen money to rescue a criminal from his just punishment. Richard will have to pay the price for his crime. The order will see that he does."
The blacksmith tossed his towel aside and planted his fists on his hips.
"Richard never stole one silver penny from anyone. Least of all, me. He earned his money."
"He cheated you."
"He sold me iron and steel. I need iron and steel to make things for the retreat. Brother Narev comes in here and growls at me to get things made, but he doesn't deliver me the iron from which I must make them. Richard does. Until Richard came along, I nearly got buried in the sky myself, because Ishak here couldn't get me enough iron and steel."
"I couldn't. The committee only gives me permission to bring what I bring. I would be buried in the sky myself if I bring more than I have permission to bring. Everybody at the transport company watches me. They report me to the workers' group if I spit wrong."
"So," Nikki said, folding her arms, "Richard has you over your own brine barrel. He brings you iron at night, and you have no choice but to pay him his price, and he knows it. He makes all this gold by gouging you. That's how he got rich, by overcharging you. That's the worst kind of thievery."
The blacksmith frowned at her as if she were daft.
"Richard sells me iron and steel for a lot less than I can buy it through the regular transport companies, like from Ishak. I charge what the Committee on Fair Pricing tells me. I have no say."
"That's just crazy,"
Nikki said to the blacksmith, ignoring Ishak.
"No, it's smart. You see, the foundries produce more than they can sell because they can't get it moved. Their furnaces have to be heated whether they make 1 ton or 10. They need to make enough iron to make the heat worth it, to pay their workers and to keep their furnaces going. If they don't buy enough ore, the mines close, and then the foundry can't get any ore at all. They can't exist if they can't get raw materials, but the order won't let Ishak and those like him move as much as the foundries need moved. The order takes weeks to decide on the simplest request. They consider every imaginable person who they fancy might conceivably be hurt if Ishak were to move the load. The foundries were desperate. They offered to sell their extra to Richard at less money."
"So they are cheated in Richard's scheme, too?"
"No. Because Richard takes it, they sell more, so it costs them less to make. They make more money than they would have otherwise. Richard sells it to me for less than I have to pay from the regular transport companies because he buys it for less.
Nicky threw her hands up in disgust.
And to top it off, he's putting working men out of jobs. He's the worst sort of criminal, making his profit off the backs of the poor, the needy, and the workers.
What? Ishak protested. I can't get enough people to work, and I can't get enough permits to haul the goods people need. Richard puts no one out of work. He helps create more business for everybody. The foundries he hauls for have each hired more men since they are able to sell through Richard.
That's right, the blacksmith said.
But you just don't see it, Nicky insisted as she raked back her hair. He's pulling the wool over your eyes. He's cheating you, milking you dry. You're getting poor because Richard...
Don't you get it, Mrs. Cipher? Richard has made half a dozen foundries money. They are working now only because of Richard. He moves their goods when they need them moved, not when they can finally get some asinine permit with seals all over it. Richard has, by himself, enabled a whole string of charcoal makers to earn a living supplying those foundries, along with a number of miners and any number of other people. And me? Richard has made me more money than I ever thought I'd make. Richard has made us all rich by doing something that is desperately needed, and doing it better than others can do it. He has kept us all working. Not the order and their committees, boards, and groups. Richard. I've been able to keep men on because of Richard. He never says it can't be done. He figures a way to do it. In the process, he has earned the trust of every man he deals with. His word is as good as that gold. Why, even Brother Narev told Richard to do what needed doing to get me the iron I needed. Richard told him he would. The palace wouldn't be this far along if not for Richard keeping everyone going with what he gets for us when we need it. The Order owes Richard a debt of gratitude, not torture and punishment. He has helped the Order by doing what they need done. Those piers standing out there would not be built yet if Richard hadn't found me the iron to make the bracing ties. Those carvings on the palace walls down there would not be done if he hadn't gotten me the steel I needed to make the tools to carve them. The goods down there are only moved in by wheels turning on iron bands I make to repair them because Richard got me the steel. Richard has done more to raise that palace up out of the ground than any other single man. Besides that, he's made friends doing it.
Nicky couldn't make it work in her head. It had to be true. She remembered that Richard had met Brother Narev. How could someone make so much money, help the Order, and have the people he deals with still trust him?
But he has made all this profit.
The blacksmith shook his head, as if she were a snake among them.
Profit is a dirty word only to the leeches of the world. They want it seen as evil, so they can more easily snatch what they did not earn.
The frown returned as the blacksmith leaned toward her. His voice became as hot as the iron he worked.
What I want to know, Mrs. Cipher, is why Richard is in some stinking prison being tortured to give a confession, while his wife is standing here acting a fool over him earning money and making us all happy and rich in the process.
Nicky felt a lump rising in her throat.
I can't pay the fine until tomorrow night.
Until I met you, I never thought Richard ever made a mistake.
The man pulled his leather apron off over his head and heaved it at the wall of his shop.
With that kind of money, we can bargain him out sooner. I hope it's soon enough. Ishak, are you with me?
Of course. They know me. I'm trusted. I go, too.
Give me the money, the blacksmith commanded.
Nicky dropped it into his upturned palm without even thinking about it. Richard wasn't really a thief. It was a wonder. She didn't know how, but these people were all happy with him. He made them all rich. It didn't make any sense to her.
Please, if you can help, I'd be indebted to you.
I'm not doing it for you, Mrs. Cipher. I'm helping a friend I value who is worth helping.
Nicky, my name is Nicky.
I'm Mr. Casella, he growled as he started away.
Mr. Casella tossed 4 gold coins on the table in front of People's Protector Muxin. He had told Nicky and Ishak that he wanted to hold something in reserve so they could pump the bellows if they needed more heat. The blacksmith towered over the man behind the table. Several officers put their noses to their work. The guards around the room all watched.
"Richard Cipher, you have him. We're here to pay the fine."
Protector Muxin blinked at the coins like a fat carp that was too full to eat a worm.
"We don't assess fines until tomorrow night. Come back then, and if this man Cipher has not confessed to involvement in anything more serious, you can pay then."
"I work out of the new palace," Mr. Casella said. "Brother Narev keeps me busy. I'm here now, so couldn't we just take care of this matter while we're all here? It would make Brother Narev happy if his head blacksmith didn't have to come all the way over here again tomorrow when I'm here now."
Protector Muxin's dark eyes turned from side to side, traversing the crowded room of wailing people. His chair chattered as he scooted it closer to the table. He folded his stubby fingers atop a pile of tattered papers.
"I would not wish to inconvenience Brother Narev."
The blacksmith smiled.
"I thought not.
However, Brother Narev would not want me to overlook my duty to the people."
"Of course not," Ishak put in.
He swiped his red hat off his head when the dark eyes turned his way.
"Such was not implied, of course. We are trusting in you to do your duty."
"Who are you?"
the protector asked Nicky.
"I am the wife of Richard Cipher, Protector Muxin. I was here before. I paid a fee to see him. You explained the fine to me."
He nodded.
"I see so many."
"Look, Mr. Casella," said, "we have a lot of money for the fine. If we could pay it now and get Richard Cipher out today, that is. Some of it is money other people might not be willing to contribute tomorrow."
The blacksmith slid 4 more gold marks across the table. The protector's dark eyes looked unimpressed.
"The money all belongs to the people. There is great need."
Nicky suspected that the great need was in his pocket, and that he was holding out for more. As if to answer the charge, Protector Muxin slid the 8 gold coins, a fortune by any standard of measure, back across the table.
"The money would not be paid here. We have no use for it. We are humble servants of the order. The amount of the fine would be noted in the ledger, but you would have to deliver it to a citizen committee for distribution to those in need."
Nicky was surprised that she had been wrong about the man. He was indeed an honest official. This changed the nature of the whole business. Her hopes brightened. Perhaps it wouldn't be so difficult to get Richard released, after all. Behind her, on the other side of the short wall, women were wailing, children were crying, and people were praying. Nicky could hardly breathe in the stinking, sweltering room. She hoped that the official would be moved to hurry the case, so he could attend to the matter of the small crowd of guards who waited off in the side halls for papers and orders.
"But you make a mistake," the protector added, "if you think money can buy this man's release. The order is not concerned with the life of one man, for no man's life is of any real importance. I'm inclined to tell you to keep your money until we can look into why anyone would have such a large sum. I think this man must be disruptive to civil order if he stirs up this much support.
No one man is any better than another.
That he can bring so much money to bribe him out of his just punishment proves my suspicion that he has something to confess."
His chair creaked as he leaned back to peer up at them.
"It appears you three would think otherwise, think he is better than any other man."
"No," the blacksmith said in an offhanded manner, "it's just that he is our friend."
"The order is your friend. Those in need are your concern. You have no business caring for one man over another. Such unseemly behavior is blasphemy."
The 3 of them before the desk stood mute. Behind them, the weeping, the wailing, the panicked praying for those in the darkness far below went on without pause, Everything they said only seemed to turn the man more against them.
If he had a skill, then it might be different. There's a great need for contributions to the order by those with ability. There are many who hold back when they should be doing their best to contribute. It is the duty of those with ability to...
It all came clear to Nikki in one blinding instant.
But he does have a skill, she blurted out. What skill?
The protector asked, not pleased at being interrupted. Nikki stepped closer.
He is the greatest. Greatness is a delusion of the wicked. All men are the same. All men are evil by nature. All men must struggle to overcome their baser nature by devoting their lives selflessly to the cause of helping their fellow man. Only selfless acts will enable a man to gain his reward in the afterlife.
Mr. Casella's fists tightened. He started to lean in. If he argued now, it would render the matter irredeemable. Nikki gave him a stealthy kick with the side of her foot, hoping to convince him to be quiet and let her do the talking before it was too late. Nikki bowed her head as she retreated a step, forcing the blacksmith aside without making it look too obvious.
You are wise, Protector Muxon. We could all learn valuable lessons from you. Please forgive the inept words of a poor wife. I am a simple woman, humbled and discomposed in the presence of such a wise representative of the Fellowship of Order.
Startled, the protector said nothing. Nikki had traded in such words for over 100 years and knew their value. She had given the man, but a petty official, a standing in the core of the Order, in the Fellowship itself, that he could never attain. This sort of man would aspire to wear the mantle of social merit. To a man like this, to be thought to hold such intellectual status was as good as earning it. Perception was reality to such men. The perception was what counted, not the actual accomplishment.
What is this man's skill?
Nikki bowed her head again.
Richard Cipher is an undistinguished stone carver, Protector Muxon.
The men to either side of her stared in disbelief.
A stone carver?
The protector asked, lingering in thought over the words.
A faceless artisan, his only hope in life that he could one day work in stone to show man's wickedness, so that he might help others see the need to sacrifice to their fellow man and the order, and in this way hope to earn his reward in the afterlife.
The blacksmith quickly recovered and added to her words,
As you may know, many of the carvers at the retreat were traitors. Thank the Creator they were discovered. So there is much carving to be done for the glory of the Order. Brother Nariv can confirm this for you, Protector Muxon.
The Protector's dark eyes shifted among the three.
How much money do you have?
22 gold marks, Nikki said. He scowled his condemnation as he pulled the ledger book close and dipped his pen in a chipped ink bottle. The Protector bent forward and wrote the fine in his book. He next wrote an order on a piece of paper and handed it up to the blacksmith.
Take this to the workers' hall at the docks, he gestured with his pen off behind them. Down that street. I will release the prisoner after you bring me a workers' group seal to prove that the fine was paid to the men who deserve it most. Those in need. Richard Cipher must be stripped of his ill-gotten gains.
Richard deserved it most, Nikki thought bitterly. He had earned it, not those other men. Nikki thought about all the nights he'd worked without sleep, without food. She remembered him wincing as he laid down to sleep, his back aching from his labor. Richard had earned that money. She knew that now. Those men who would get it had done nothing for it but to desire it, thus proclaiming their right to it.
Yes, Protector Muxon, Nikki said as she bowed. Thank you for your wise justice.
Mr. Casella let out a quiet sigh. Nikki leaned confidentially toward the protector.
We will carry out your equitable instructions immediately, she smiled deferentially. Since you have treated us so fairly in this matter, might I ask one further consideration?
It was a lot of gold that would be credited to his effort on behalf of the order. She knew he would likely be in a generous mood at that moment.
It's more a matter of curiosity, really.
He wheezed an annoyed sigh.
What is it you want?
Nicky leaned closer, close enough to smell the man's stale sweat.
The name of the person who reported my husband? The one who rightly brought Richard Cipher to justice?
Nicky knew that he was thinking that men were more likely to be welcomed into the Fellowship when they helped collect great sums for those in need. The matter of the name would only be a gnat bothering his pleasant thoughts. He pulled some papers close and scanned through them, flipping them aside as he searched.
"Here it is,"
Protector Muxin said at last.
"Richard Cipher's name was reported by a young soldier volunteering in the Imperial Order Army. His name is Gadi. The report is months old. It took some time to see justice done, but the Order always sees justice done in the end. That is why they call our great emperor Jagang the Just."
Nicky straightened.
"Thank you, Protector Muxin."
Her calm face concealed her inner fury that the little thug was out of her reach. Gadi deserved to suffer. The Protector wrote out his sentence for a civil crime as he spoke.
"Take the order of fine I gave you to the workers' group at the docks, and return here when you have seals to prove that his fine of 22 gold marks was paid in full. Richard Cipher is further ordered to report to the Carver's Committee for Work Assignment."
He handed her the paper with the orders.
"Richard Cipher is now a stone carver for the Order."
The sun was setting by the time they returned with all the papers and seals. The blacksmith was impressed with the way she had handled the official when the offer of gold failed to work. Ishak thanked her 100 times. It only mattered to her that Richard would be freed. She was relieved to know that she had been wrong, that Richard wasn't a cheat and a thief after all. It had been such an ugly feeling thinking ill of Richard. It had for a time tainted her whole world. She had never been so happy to be wrong. Better yet, they had done it. She was to have him back. At the side door to the stronghold, Mr. Casella, Ishak, and Nicky waited. The shadows grew darker. Finally, the door opened. 2 guards held Richard between them as they came out onto the landing. When they saw Richard, his condition, Mr. Casella cursed under his breath. Ishak whispered a prayer. The guards released Richard with a shove. He stumbled forward. The blacksmith and Ishak raced to the steps to help him. Richard caught himself and straightened. A dark form upright in the last of the light, defiant of the long shadows around him, he held a hand out, commanding the 2 men to stay where they were. Both stopped with a foot on the bottom step, ready to run up to him should he need them. Nicky couldn't imagine what pain it had cost Richard to walk so steadily, proudly, smoothly down the stairs without help, as if he were a free man. He did not yet know what she had done to him. Nicky knew there could be no worse plight for Richard. The torture down in the depths of the stronghold was not as bad as what she had just condemned him to. Nicky was sure that this was the one thing, at last, that would force out the answer she sought, if there really was an answer to be found.
This is the end of this cassette. This program is continued on side 1 of cassette number 17.